That's right. Hey, good morning, you guys. And happy, happy Sunday. What a great morning, you guys. I tell you what, that pretty lady who opens up worship, she had a powerful word this morning, you guys. Wow, it was really good. And I think I've been thinking about that. You know, I was writing as quick as I could. Marnie leaves me these little song lists or whatever in the drum room, and every Sunday they always get written all over the place with different things that I feel like God is speaking in the moment. And you know, I just loved what Trisha was saying. You know, this season is now a time of building and not defending. What a good word, and you'll see where that ties in today. We're moving out of a season of resistance. But you know who was at fault for a lot of the resistance we were experiencing? Us. We were the ones who provided the resistance, right? And that, at least that's what I was feeling in the moment as Trisha was saying that. We're moving out of a season of resistance. I love that. A highway of holiness season. Oofta. That was good stuff. The fruit of a blind yes to me. We're going to experience the fruit of a blind yes. Come on, you guys. That was a good word. What I was hearing this morning, we were praying before the service, and this is going to tie into kind of that last song that Marnie was singing, but also what Kirk was talking about here. And I heard this, and I had to write it down as soon as I got into the drum room this morning. The more of God is built on the foundation of our yes to God. And I'd encourage you to write that down, because that's not just for me, okay? The more of God is built on the foundation of our yes to God. I've got a message this morning that I've been working on for a few weeks now. It's called Beyond Belief, Bridging the Gap Between Belief and Obedience. And it kind of started with just this sense, and I talked about it a little bit last week when I was doing announcements and kind of reading Kirk's article to you about how Kirk, Marnie, Trisha, and myself, we've been sensing this callback to holiness. We're sensing this calling back to holiness and obedience, okay? Because if you want the fruit of miracles, and we want the fruit of miracles, if you want the fruit of revival, and we want the fruit of revival, there has to be this upholding of God in his holiness that is, it's proclaimed through our obedience to him, right? The more of God is built on the foundation of our yes to God. And so we feel this sense, and I told you last week that it's this stirring. It's this stirring that I'm feeling right now of this calling to holiness and this calling to obedience. And so I've got what I would consider a tough message today. It was a tough message to write, and it's definitely going to be a tough message to hear. But I want you to hear, I guess, kind of the heart behind it. Because a lot of times when we start talking about obedience and holiness, a lot of times we start to feel this tug, this pull towards legalism, right? And towards rules and towards things that a lot of times many of you were brought out of or saved out of that kind of background. But forgive me if I challenge you to not let yourself go back there in this process, okay? And so I want to bridge the gap, though, because I feel like there's been a disconnect between what we would call belief and what we would call obedience. And Jesus always meant for the two to be married together. Yep. Belief and obedience were always meant to be taken hand in hand. But somewhere along the way, we tried to separate the two. Okay? And so Kirk wrote this. I know I talked about his newsletter last week, but I really want you, if you haven't read his newsletter article for the month of February, read it. Read it. Because it's been this thing of like almost like a confirmation of, yes, Lord, this is what you are speaking right now to us in this season. And so Kirk wrote this. This is part of his opening paragraph. He says, this season is set to be one of increase and blessing. Amen? Increase and blessing. But here's the deal. A lot of times in our walk with God, I've said this before, we want the benefit, but we don't want the bill. We want the benefit, but we don't want the bill. We want the miracle, we want the revival, but we don't want to necessarily pay the price that it might require of us. And that price is always going to be a willingness, a yes, an obedient, humbled heart before Him. Because miracles and revival can't be sustained in places where humility doesn't exist, where obedience doesn't exist, because that's when it gets a little goofy, crazy, muddy, and messy, right? And so Kirk writes this, this season is set to be one of increase and blessing as we rise up every day with a shout of yes in our spirit to Jesus and His ways. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. That's what He's calling you to this morning. Just say yes. And those of you that used to watch the Newsboys movie, dichasi, dichasi, say yes. Sorry, nobody else here speaks Italian or watches the Newsboys movie, evidently. Okay, all right, moving on, Stephen. All right, sorry. But say yes. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for a hunger and willingness, and He's gonna flow, baby. That's what He wants from us. He wants us to walk in belief, yes. But belief and obedience are meant to be married together. This season is set to be one of increase and blessing as we rise up with that shout of yes. Remember, the more of God is built on the foundation of our yes to God. And so it's kind of along the lines where one of these Sunday mornings, I can't even remember how far ago it was, but I felt the nudge and I wrote this down on one of my little set list sheets. This is what I felt God was speaking into my spirit that morning. And I wrote this. I said, in our desire for justification, right? Justification just means to prove that we're right, to prove that we're justified, to prove that we're righteous, or that what we're doing is good, okay? In our desire for justification, we have sought to separate our belief our behavior from our beliefs, and the erosion of our culture has been the result. Now, that's a heady statement, okay? And I didn't even have time to process it in the moment. I just had to write it down quick and get to drumming and then think about it the next few days afterwards, okay? But in our desire for justification, we've sought to separate our behavior from our beliefs, and the erosion of our culture has been the result. What we've seen from Christianity over the last few decades is that belief is enough. Say boo. We've made that a declaration. You just got to believe in Jesus. You just got to believe in Jesus. Doesn't matter how you're behaving. You just got to believe in Jesus. And yes, you do have to believe in Jesus, but Jesus would tell you that belief and behavior were always meant to be married to one another. They were always meant to be taken hand in hand. And I'm going to take you to Luke this morning. And I would love it. If you have one of those crispy, crunchy Bibles to pop it open to Luke this morning. And I'm going to take you to a story that Jesus is telling that hopefully clarifies that heady statement that I just made there for just a second, because Jesus has a great way of saying things better than I ever would. And so this is Luke chapter 6, and it's verses 46 through 49. And you may recognize this parable as the wise and foolish builders, okay? Many of you are probably familiar with that parable, okay? But I'm going to read it to you from Scripture here. So Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. And Jesus says this, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord?" Pause. That word Lord there is meant to establish authority. to identify him as being the boss, to identify him as being in charge, to identify him as being sovereign over me. And Jesus is saying, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but, key phrase here, and do not do what I say? A lot of times we want Jesus to be Lord, but then we carve out this little 2x2 square of our life and our heart that he can be Lord over, okay? Why don't you be Lord over this right here? This I'm willing to give to you, okay? And Jesus isn't going to be satisfied with the this that you're willing to give him, okay? If you want more of God, it's going to require you giving him all of you, right? And so Jesus, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and key phrase, puts them into practice. Amen? He is like a man building a house who dug down deep, the slow, dirty work, the praying day after day, the reading of Numbers, Leviticus, Exodus, Deuteronomy, right? Digging down deep and laid the foundation on rock. Remember, the more of God is built on our yes to God, right? And he's trying to build a highway of holiness in this season, right? As Trisha talked about. They laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. Look at somebody and say, you look well built. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. 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 It was well built. That house, okay? But here's the trade-off, though, because Jesus is going to have two sides of the same equation ready for us, right? And so he follows it with this statement in verse 49, but the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. And the very moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. In our desire for justification, we've sought to separate our behavior from our beliefs, and it is leading to destruction around us. It's time for the church. It's time for the Christians within the church. It's time for us to marry our behavior with our belief again. There is a calling back to obedience, and there is a calling back to holiness, because God is ready to move. And he's wanting us in a season of preparation right now to be ready to move when he moves. Almost like we're chomping at the bit a little bit. And Trisha feels like that at night as she's sitting there watching those revival videos from Kentucky. Okay, and kicking me with her feet, going, watch this, watch this, watch this, okay? Right? She's antsy. And may I be antsy with her, right? May I be antsy with her. God is stirring up something, right? And so what is the connection? Answer this for me, okay? Think about it for just a second. But what's the connection between believing in Jesus and obeying Jesus? Because I told you, they were always meant to be married together. They're meant to be hand in hand. What's the connection then? Sorry. You become like him. You become like him. You bet. You bet. There's a verse that we're going to share a little bit later, Linda, that clarifies that statement. You bet. Yeah. Well, what's the connection between believing in Jesus and obeying Jesus? You've heard Kirk and I both say this statement, that behavior follows belief. Behavior follows belief, okay? I was reading a great book that my bride gave me over Christmas break. It's titled The Men We Need by Brant Hansen. And in his book, he made this statement: what we believe is not what we say we believe. It's what we actually do. Ouch indeed. What we believe is not what we say we believe. It's what we actually do. It's time to stop the erosion of culture, folks. It's time to stop the slip. It's time to become these boulders, right? Yeah. These rocks that people can cling onto in this season. Yeah. It's time to stop the slip. It's time for us to dig down and dig in and be something, someone that people can grab onto. And as they grab onto you, you get to direct them to him, right? 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 Because all around us are people that are looking for a foothold. All around us are people clinging and grasping for anything that they can grab onto. Might as well be you as you're holding on to him. And then you can lead them to him. Amen? Amen. So, but Brant isn't the guy who originally came up with this thought. He actually got it from James, right? As James writes it like this: in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. D-E-A-D, dead. Faith by itself is dead if it doesn't have the behavior that it requires. And James also goes on in verse 24, he says this: you see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. But what we've done over the last few decades in Christianity is we've tried to separate behavior from belief to justify our actions. I can believe in Jesus, but I can also do this. You can follow Jesus, but you can also do this. Kirk, you've heard that before, right? You've seen it. You've seen it, and it will always lead to one place. And Jesus taught about it in a parable. It always leads to death and destruction. When you think you can follow two masters, you can't. You can't. You can't. You are not justified by your faith, but your actions that you have with it. I wrote this in my Bible in James once upon a time, that faith is the sum of belief and obedience, and you can't have it with only one piece of the equation. You've got to have them both together. So I got four key concepts that I'm going to speak at you this morning. Four key concepts that hopefully lead us in the direction that God wants us to go. Concept number one is this: there is a difference between believing in and knowing about. There's a big difference between believing in someone versus just knowing about someone. I wrote this as a note as I was preparing this sermon. If you say that you believe in Jesus, but you're not obeying him, it's possible that you just know him or know about him. If you say you believe in Jesus, but you're not obeying him, it's possible that you just know about Jesus. Again, this is going to be tough stuff to hear. It's going to be tough stuff to preach, okay? We'll just deal with it together. How about that this morning, right? Okay, right? But this isn't my own thought. Jesus is going to back this up. Luke chapter 4, verses 33 through 34, in the synagogue, in the church, Sunday after Sunday, there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit, and he cried out at the top of his voice, "Ha! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Oofta. He knows Jesus. He knows all about him, okay? There's a difference between believing in and knowing about. And it goes on in that same passage, Luke chapter 4, verse 41. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God!" But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. In that same passage from James that I read just a little bit ago, James would tell us, You, you say that you know God. Well, even the demons do that and shudder. What good is it to you, right? And so we got to realize there's a difference. God is wanting. So if you're here and you just know about Jesus, the next step for you today is to believe in him. Okay? And each of us is going to find ourselves at one of these key points today. You might be here and just know about Jesus. And the calling of God is that you should come a little bit deeper and let's believe in him. Let's go beyond that. Key concept number two, obedience serves as an indicator of what we believe. Okay, I already used this statement that behavior follows belief. Obedience serves as an indicator of what we believe. What do I mean by that? Is that actions reveal our thoughts. Actions reveal our thoughts all the time. All the time. Okay? And so if you see somebody doing something weird, guess what? They believe something weird. It's true. It is true. It is true. Okay? Actions reveal thoughts. And I wrote this down. Again, this is a hard statement. Okay? So just bear with me because it's hard for me to preach. It's going to be hard for you to hear, but we're going to deal with it together. If you believe in Jesus, but you don't behave like Jesus, then it's possible that you believe the wrong things about Jesus. Let me say that again. If you believe in Jesus, but you don't behave like Jesus, then it's possible that you believe the wrong things about Jesus. So maybe you're here and you believe in Jesus. Okay? You don't just know about him, but you believe in him, but your behavior seems a little bit wonky, right? It could be that you're believing the wrong things about Jesus. And the Bible would encourage you, the authors of Scripture would encourage you to take captive every thought and put it underneath the lordship of Christ. And so if I'm believing something wrong about Jesus, that's a conversation that I need to have between him and me. And say, hey, Jesus, help me understand this. Help me understand this, okay? If you believe in Jesus, but you don't behave like him, it's possible that you believe the wrong things about him, okay? Next key concept, our level of obedience to God is directly proportional to our regard for his holiness. Again, these are going to be hard statements, okay? But our level of obedience to God is directly proportional to our regard to his holiness. I wrote this, and again, let's deal with it together. We often don't obey God to the degree that we should, because sometimes, quite honestly, we don't regard him as holy as he truly is. And that's hard to say, and that's hard to hear. We often don't obey God to the degree that we should because we don't regard him as being as holy as he truly is. And sometimes it's just being comfortable with the way things I want or the way I want things to be or serving a God that fits into my, spectrum of what I think God should look like or mold. That's a good, better word, much better word. Hallelujah. Thank you. I'm going to use that word. God, when he, will serve the God that fits the mold that we think God should be like, right? Okay? And it doesn't just happen to us. Okay? It happened to Moses. This is Numbers 20:12. This is actually the passage that got me thinking about this message a long time ago. But this is from Numbers 20:12, and you may be familiar with the passage, but the Israelites are complaining again. They need water again. And so Moses is supposed to get water from a rock again. Okay? Now, the first time Moses got water from the rock, God told him to give it a little tappy-tap, and water gushed out. This next time God wants water to come from the rock, he tells Moses, don't hit it, speak to it, okay? Don't go with what you always know. Don't go with what you think is my MO. Follow me, do what I ask you to do, okay? And sometimes we go with the MO that we think God should operate under, okay? And here's what happens. Moses strikes the rock in frustration, okay? After, you know, a scathing rebuke of the Israelites, okay? And he strikes this rock in frustration, and God issues this. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land that I am giving them. To obey God fully is to regard him as holy. To obey God fully is to regard him as holy, which means if I don't fully obey God, I am disregarding his holiness. But that's not easy to hear. And if you read on in Kirk's newsletter, you're going to see him talk about that same concept, okay? A lot of times we don't realize when we walk into this church, when we are sitting here listening to music or listening to a sermon or gathering around people, we are in the presence of a holy God, folks. We are in the presence of a holy God, and by golly, our behavior should follow suit. To regard God as holy is to obey him fully. Next point. We demonstrate our love for God through our obedience to him. So again, you might be anywhere in the spectrum, right? If you're in I just know about Jesus, the challenge is to believe in him. If you're in the believing stage, but your behavior's wonky, then let's go to challenging some of the beliefs that you have about Jesus, okay? If you're struggling with obedience to God, maybe there's an issue of holiness and we don't necessarily regard him as holy as he truly is. And we demonstrate our love for God through our obedience to him. And this is where God wants to lead us. He wants to lead us to a place where we are obeying him, not because he says so, but because he says so. But true obedience, I've said this before, true obedience has to come from a place of deep love. It has to. It has to. True obedience has to come from a place of deep love. And we demonstrate our love for God through our obedience to him. And again, I'm not smart enough to come up with stuff like this. It's Jesus. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. As he's talking to his disciples in one of his last private conversations that he's going to have with them before he goes on to be crucified. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And maybe that's not enough for you. So then he keeps talking. Same chapter, just six short verses later. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And if that's not enough for you, just a couple more verses later. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. We demonstrate our love for God through our obedience to him, but we got to be careful because true obedience comes from a place of deep love. What I mean by that is obedience serves as an indicator of what we believe, right? I said that just a little bit ago. Obedience serves as an indicator of what we believe. Actions reveal thoughts. Behavior follows belief. For all that mumbo jumbo that I already told you. But it also serves as an indicator of what we love. Obedience serves as an indicator of what I believe, but it also serves as an indicator of what I love. Here's where that gets a little bit dicey. If I'm not obeying Jesus, it's not necessarily because I don't love him. I'm not trying to say that to you this morning, okay? If I'm not obeying Jesus, it's not necessarily because I don't love him. It's that I love the other thing that I am obeying more. Ouch. Man, that hurts me. Man, that hurts me. Okay? It hurts to preach, it hurts to hear, but we're going to deal with it. If I'm not obeying Jesus, it's not necessarily because I don't love him. It's that I love the other thing that I am obeying more. And what in the world could you or I possibly love more than Jesus? Myself. Dang it, you knew the answer already, babe. You knew it. She knows me. She does. She does, right? What could you or I possibly love more than Jesus? Oftentimes, the answer is the same. Me, myself, and I. Okay? I love myself a lot more sometimes. And so we demonstrate our love for God, though, through our obedience to him. We also demonstrate our love for ourselves through submitting to our flesh. Youch. 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 Okay? Stab it in there, Stephen. Just dig it around, buddy, right? These are hard things to hear. These are hard things to preach. But here's Jesus' anthem verse, right? This is Jesus' anthem verse, and may this be the anthem for this season that we're entering right now. This is John 14, verse 31. But the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do, key word there, exactly. We could unpack that word exactly. You know what it means. Exactly. It means exactly what exactly means. I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. No ifs, no ands, no buts, no excuses, no low road. We're taking the high road, okay? He is calling us into this highway of holiness season. And we can only walk that path as long as we are willing to do the dirty work of digging down and making a foundation on some solid rock. Again, the call for us as Christians in this season is to stop the slip. The erosion of culture is at hand, but it's up to you and it's up to me, because Jesus wants us to play a part in this, to dig down, to find some foundation, and to be there to catch and grab and be someone that others can cling to in the process. We demonstrate our love for God through our obedience to him. And I'm going to leave you with 2 John chapter 6. And this is love. This is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. In my Bible, I actually have a little loop that I drew with arrows about how true love means to walk in obedience, and true obedience means to walk in love. True love means to walk in obedience. True obedience means to walk in love. So what does love look like? Obedience. And what does obedience look like? Love. Okay? And so the challenge for you and the challenge for me this morning is to assess where I'm at on this spectrum. Okay? Where am I at on this spectrum in terms of my behavior and my belief? And to assess where I'm at so that I can make things right. Not make things right. That sounds stupid. Sorry. But that I can be willing to offer up to Jesus whatever it is that I'm struggling with, so that he can make things right through his Holy Spirit working inside of me. Okay? And I love that verse, John 14, 31. I want this to be an anthem verse for me this season, so that the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. I want to stop the slip. The erosion of culture is at hand. And you and I are perfectly positioned, folks, perfectly positioned to be there for someone to grab onto. Okay? Amen? So here's the deal. I asked the great James Frederick Conser and Kathy, I wish I knew your middle name. Marie. Kathy Marie? You used to be Kathy Marie Miller. Oh my goodness. Okay. I asked Jim and Kathy this morning if they would come up. See, as I was working through this message in the back of my mind, I was out working on my log pile, throwing wood into my boiler one night, and all of a sudden, this old chorus just popped out of nowhere into my spirit. And it's just, yes, Lord, yes. And it goes like this. I'll say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say, yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me with my whole heart, I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord. Wherever you're at on this spectrum of behavior and belief, if you don't know the difference between knowing about or believing in, if your obedience is serving as a wrong indicator of wrong beliefs, if your level of obedience is wonky because you don't regard God as holy, if you're not demonstrating your love through God, love for God through your obedience to him, I want this to be an anthem song for us this morning of just leaning into what it is that God is speaking to your heart this morning. Again, I loved what Kirk's message was, and it was just stupid coincidence, not coincidence, Holy Spirit orchestration here. You know, Kirk's words, this season is set to be one of increase and blessing as we rise up every day with a shout of yes in our spirits to Jesus and his ways. I mean, how crazy the connection between that passage and this. And so I just love how it ties into that. Amen. Well, Lord, we thank you for today, Father. And Lord, may that be our declaration, Lord, as you are speaking to us, Father, that our answer would be yes to you, Father, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that you have given us an opportunity in this season, Father, to partner with you through our willingness to obey, through our willingness to say yes, Lord. And so, Father, I just pray a blessing over all of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, be blessed, you guys.